Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Welcome to Sunday Cantata. Today is the 15th Sunday after Trinity in the Church's calendar, and we are about to hear a cantata by Johann Sebastian Bach that has been assigned for this Sunday, sort of. As we will find out, the story is a bit more complicated than what we are used to in Sunday Cantata. However, it's an absolute jewel, and quite possibly the best known and best loved of all of Bach's cantatas. So I have no doubt that it will be worth your while, whether it really belongs to this Sunday or somewhere else. Hello, my name is Tapani Simayoki, and I'll be your host for the next half an hour of Lutheran spirituality dressed in the garb of some truly exquisite music. I serve as the pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church, a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, or ELCE. To find out more about the ELCE, visit our website at lutheran.co.uk, where you can find out about what Lutheranism is, learn about our congregations and missions, and download top-quality teaching booklets. Today we will hear a piece that is in many respects quite different from a typical church cantata, BWV 51, Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen. For one, it doesn't seem to be linked in any obvious way to any of the readings for today. Jesus is teaching, at the end of the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, about seeking God's kingdom rather than being anxious about our livelihood, or Paul's teaching on the Christian life in Galatians 5 and 6. Secondly, Jauchzet Gott is a solo cantata for a soprano. Now, this isn't unique. We've heard several solo cantatas already in past episodes, including one for soprano. However, this soprano cantata really is quite extraordinary. It's a veritable firework display, requiring rock-solid technique and musicianship, such that it could only be sung presentably by a professional, either a female singer or a castrato. This fact alone suggests strongly that Jauchzet Gott was not written for use in a church service in Bach's day job, despite the fact that the original score and part for the music date from around 1730, when Bach served the churches of Leipzig. The reason is very simple. During his long tenure as the director of church music in Leipzig from 1723 onwards, the choirs Bach used in the various churches of the city were formed out of students from the St. Thomas Choir School, with occasional help from talented students from the University of Leipzig. That meant that the only soprano soloists he had at his disposal were trebles from the choir, boys in their early teens at the most. Women were not allowed into the organ loft where the choir sang. This fact was a source of perennial frustration for the composer. While the orchestra tended to be made up of competent professionals, the singers were frequently not able to match either the instrumentalists or the demands of the music, not to mention the demands of the director of music. What little survives of Bach's correspondence is peppered with complaints about the difficulty he had in having the use of sufficiently proficient singers to do justice to his compositions. This problem was particularly acute when it came to the youngest and least experienced singers, the sopranos, especially since they were in charge of singing the top line in any choral music. This is why there are relatively few soprano solos in the Leipzig arias, and why they are often less demanding than the arias for the other voices, which were sung by older, more experienced singers, either from the choir school or from the university. All of which makes it all the more remarkable that Bach persisted in writing the kind of music he did, not dumbing it down to make his life easy, but writing the music that the texts and the occasion demanded and his own creative genius produced. It wouldn't really be until the second half of the 20th century that professional musicians would begin to perform these cantatas at a standard that they deserve. So we can be pretty certain that today's cantata wasn't really written for today, and that it wasn't written for a service in Leipzig. In fact, the connection with this Sunday comes from the autograph on the score, which states that the piece is written for the 15th Sunday after Trinity, and for every time, sufficiently vague to cover almost any eventuality. That's why experts in these matters have come to the conclusion that Jauchzet Gott was probably originally written to be performed at some court, possibly that of Duke Christian of Sachsen-Weissenfeld, whose birthday celebrations Bach attended in 1729, returning with a newly acquired title Hofkapellmeister, or Chief Director of Music. Of course, this is all guesswork, but it seems to be the best guess. Whatever the provenance of this solo cantata, it is indeed suitable for every time, with the exception of Lent and Passiontide, because it is a call to praising God that is both exhilarating and moving in equal measure. Other than the virtuosic writing for the soprano, What gives BWV 51 its very special character is that it includes an equally virtuosic part for a solo trumpet. In fact, the opening movement is written very much like a concerto for trumpet and voice. It's even been suggested that, had the soprano part been replaced by an instrument, it wouldn't have been out of place amongst the Brandenburg concertos. Stirring stuff indeed. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK with me, Pastor Tapani Simoyoki. The cantata opens with a concerto-like movement with a very prominent solo trumpet part. Now, if it doesn't sound that impressive to your ears, it's worth remembering that the trumpets of Bach's time, like the one we hear in today's performance, were natural trumpets, without valves or keys. The trumpeter produced all the notes by altering the shape of his lips. This was a highly skilled job, making this movement a real showcase of talent for the court trumpeter of Sachsen-Weissenfeld. The words are a call for all people to praise God. Shout for joy to God in every land. All creatures in heaven and earth must exalt his glory. And to our God we would now likewise bring an offering, since in affliction and distress at all times he has stood by us. For much of this aria, the soprano and the trumpet compete playfully for prominence in an exhilarating duet. However, the trumpet is silenced in the more somber middle section, recounting God's faithfulness in times of affliction and distress. The text of the second movement, an accompanied recitative known as an accompagnato, is based on words from Psalms 138 and 26. We pray at the temple where God's honor dwells, where his faithfulness that is renewed every day rewards us with unmixed blessing. We praise what he has done for us. Even if our weak mouths have to babble about his wonders, yet imperfect praise can still please him. The first part is a beautiful meditative arioso with pulsating string accompaniment, meditating on and adoring God's faithfulness in an atmosphere of reverent awe. When the singer comes to the final lines, reflecting on the worshipper's inability to praise God as we should, the accompanying strings fall silent, leaving only the continuo of cello, harpsichord and organ. The music is transformed into an extended angular phrase, an apt depiction of the stammer of the humble Christian, and the bareness of even the best of our praise in proportion to what is due to God. Now, it might seem a bit disingenuous of the great composer to open with the fireworks of the first movement, giving as eloquent an expression of the church's praise as anyone, and then follow up with this stammer. False modesty, perhaps? Far from it. Bach was a good enough theologian to know what every Christian knows, or at least ought to know, that the chasm between the best of our efforts to glorify God and what God's honor demands from us yawns wide open even when we do our very best. It's as if Bach were saying, you thought that that was an impressive anthem to God, or that your prayers and praises are something to feel pleased about. Think again. They would pale to nothing in the light of God's glory, except for the fact that in his grace he is pleased with the fruit of lips speaking by faith. If the opening aria is impressive and shows off the skills of trumpeter, singer and composer alike, the second aria that comes next is pure delight, an incredibly beautiful and tender meditation on God's love and faithfulness, and a plea for a life of new obedience flowing from God's love. Most High, make thy goodness every morning anew. Thus, before our Father's faithfulness, a grateful spirit should show by leading a pious life that we are your children. This is the closest the cantata comes to reflecting on today's readings, as it touches on a theme from the epistle reading at the end of Galatians chapter 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Here again, Bach's theological sophistication shines through. We know that he wasn't shy to drive home the need for Christians to live in obedience to God's word, and use pretty blunt weapons if necessary. However, the focus of this whole cantata is God's faithfulness, where both our praise and our pious lives are a thankful response to his grace, which always comes first. As Paul explains earlier in Galatians 5 in a passage read last Sunday, the new life of the Christian is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, not something God demands from us before he shows us love. And so the tone remains adoring and thankful throughout. Where the opening aria made its impression with power, here the main tool is simplicity. A lilting 12-8 rhythm, a lyrical melody with heart-stopping intervals, accompanied only by the continuo. Pure magic. The volume is now ramped back up high with a highly spirited rendition of the final stanza of Johann Graumann's hymn of praise, Nun lob mein Seel den Herren, now praise my soul the Lord, with a melody from 1540. May there be praise and glory and honor for God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. May it be his will to increase in us what he promises us through his grace, so that we firmly trust in him, rely completely on him, from our hearts build on him, so that our heart, spirit and mind depend steadfastly on him. About this we now sing. Amen. We shall achieve this if we believe from the bottom of our hearts. Here we are back to Bach, the master craftsman. The chorale is sung as a slow cantus firmus with frequent ornaments by the soprano soloists, over a seemingly independent concerto-like movement for the strings and continuo. The chorale is interspersed with three fairly long, vigorous instrumental sections or ritornellos, the last of which leads without interruption to the closing Alleluia. Now this Alleluia is something else. The trumpet returns to duet with the soprano, the two parts weaving in and out like a pair of playful skylarks soaring higher and higher and higher towards heaven in their eagerness to praise God. Both soloists are pushed to the very limits of their technique to squeeze whatever human skill there is to give the highest possible praise to God. You have to have a heart of stone not to be moved by this tremendous jewel in the crown that is Bach's cantata number 51. As you can imagine, this is not a piece for a faint-hearted singer. It gives me great pleasure, therefore, to present to you Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen, BWV 51, as sung by the wonderful English soprano Caroline Sampson, accompanied by the orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan, directed by Masaki Suzuki. The trumpet solo is played with aplomb by Toshio Shimada. The recordings found on Volume 30 of Bach Collegium Japan's complete recording of Bach's sacred cantatas, brought to you on Lutheran Radio UK thanks to a generous discount from the home of high-quality classical downloads, eclassical.com.
Oh,
That was Bach's wonderful cantata No. 51, performed by Carolyn Sampson, soprano, and Toshio Shimada, trumpet, with the orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan, conducted by Masahaki Suzuki. I do hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Sunday Cantata. While you wait for the next episode, do visit the Lutheran Radio UK website, lutheranradio.co.uk, where you can listen to earlier episodes of Sunday Cantata, as well as our other excellent programs. It's not an exaggeration to say that Lutheran Radio UK has something for everyone. If you would like to comment on the program, you can contact me by email via info@lutheranradio.co.uk. And don't forget to tell your friends about Lutheran Radio UK. Again, there are lots of different ways to tell others about us, all of which you can find on the website. The address, again, is lutheranradio.co.uk. Join me again next week for Sunday Cantata. In the meantime, may God bless you richly with his gracious gifts and fill your heart with joy. I'm Pastor Tapanisi Moyoki, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.